to continue in our journey through the Sermon on the Mount with Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Don't give the sacred items to puppies, nor toss your pearls before the hogs, or the hogs will trample them with their trotters, and the puppies returning will tear you into pieces. I know you're waiting for more. There's usually so much more reading, but it's not. That's it. Why this one? It's one that should seem fairly obvious, but it's one that also brings up many questions. I'm a city boy. I could honestly say I don't think I ever saw a pig, a real-life pig, until I was 10, and then I haven't seen one since. City boy. Puppies, though. Puppies, I grew up with dogs. 3 months after being married, I came home from work, and Melissa goes, I've been looking at puppies to get one. And I said, oh, me too. And thus, our adorable dog up there, Oscar Mayer, the Chiweeny, was brought into our family. Now, puppies, I don't think as a kid, right, you're being raised, you don't think of all the intricacies with raising a puppy until you are the one responsible for the puppy. But to be honest, Oscar was great. He didn't dig into the carpets, I've heard horror stories like that, or chew on furniture. He didn't go to the bathroom everywhere. The only quirk he had is if you were folding laundry and you dropped a sock on the floor when he was a puppy, it was his. Then you'd have to chase him for it. That's not bad, right? But I've also heard that puppies are a lot like toddlers. Now, having gone through 3 crazy boys now, I can confirm that. Maybe even toddlers are worse. Because, again, they're cute when they're newborn and they got the smiles and the scrunchy faces and the gummy smiles, the best. When they get mobile, that's when things get difficult, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you realize all the important things you have in your house that you don't want them getting into. Because why? For the same thing we think about puppies. They don't know what's important to you. They don't know what anything of value is. It's just going to go in the mouth. Oh my gosh, did your great-grandmother give you this beautiful artifact that you had on the table and now you realize the baby can reach it and is going to put it in its mouth? That thing gets taken and put somewhere else, doesn't it? Right? Because again, they don't know any better. They don't know the difference. They don't know, to borrow the phrase from the scriptures, what's sacred versus what is free range. Right? Here's the thing with this scripture. Sometimes we like to think scripture and Jesus is talking so deep, as if it's the secret mysteries of the faith. And if we could just glean what's there, we would get to know something. Here in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving something very ordinary. He's saying something that's very contextual to where he is, and that probably wouldn't hold up for very much longer. Don't give the sacred things to the puppies or pearls to the hogs, right? Now, it's funny because when we were thinking about choosing music, Karen goes, what are you going to preach on? And I'm like, this. It's so straightforward that the scholars, there's not much debate. We know exactly what Jesus is talking about here. In his time, they had the temple, right? They knew what sacred was because there were particular things used in church, their church, that wasn't used anywhere else. Kind of. The things and the items that you would use in the temple, candles, lamps, tables, curtains, those are all everyday household things. What made them sacred was that they were chosen for a particular task in the temple. That was it. That's what it means to be holy. Something that was common that is now being used typically for God's use. That's it. The people get to know what this means really well in the book of Leviticus, our third book of the entire Bible. The first half is all about the sacred things in God's space, tabernacle, temple, right? And to show you that there are some things that are going to now be different, not good, not the best, not highly valued, just used particularly for something versus everything else, there's a story about a group of priests, two priests, that lose their life. There's an item that they could use that has been set aside for a certain sacrifice. And instead of using that particular sacred item, it seems as though they have one, as if it's like, it's a pot, I'll go get it from my house. Like, it's okay, it'll be the same thing. And God says, no, it's not. What God has deemed as good and as gifts in this space needs to be valued. It is not that it is some moral obligation. It is that there's a value here that God is trying to teach. There's a discernment and a stewardship that the God of the universe is giving to them, right? And what's interesting is the second half of that book is actually just that. The people of God, God's people, not just the priests, but the people getting to learn what that looks like in everyday life, how to value the gifts of God, the good things, the life-giving things that God presents us with as gifts and how to use them. Family, friends, houses, homes, objects, right? So in Jesus' world, in Jesus' time, there was no secular and religious, right? There were just things. And some things were used for the sacred space, some things weren't, right? Does that make sense? To drive it home even more, sometimes in churches we have these big, beautiful golden chalices that we use for communion, and we never use it for anything else. But to be honest, there may be something much like that chalice that they would use at home, but that one was different. Not because it was better, not because it had bejeweled, dazzling, glittery, right? No, it was something that God had chosen, and so it was different. Make sense? Makes sense. Okay. Beating a dead horse, right? Okay. Puppies. Notice how I translated this today, puppies. If you were to open your NIV or almost any other translation, it would say dog. And I am guilty just as much as I'm sure others are, but we have this idea because of a particular story in Matthew where a woman comes up that is a Gentile, right? At Jesus at his lowest when he wants to get away, and so he goes out of town, he goes out of the promised land, and this woman finds him and goes, I know who you are. Can you heal somebody for me? And his response is, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the people of God. You don't make dinner and take the plate that you were going to give to your children and give it to the dog, do you? And she goes, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Now, first off, we know that that is not just dog. Somehow in our culture, we now imagine the dog being the mangy dog that walks the streets, that is full of God knows what, looking for a handout. But the puppy, no, the word is actually puppy, something that's already in the home, something you're already caring for. Even the puppies get the crumbs, that I get. Again, the dog was here before any of the children, right? And we always place the food in the bowl. If the dog is going to eat, even if we have leftovers, it's going in the bowl, right? Our dog trainer said, they'll start begging, they'll start expecting food. So we've always done it that way. This is me and Melissa's practice. But do you know since day one that the kids were able to eat on their own, I'm done, and they know the dog's right there, and off it goes. Now we have to train both the dog and the kids what to do when we're done eating, right? So I get that. And Jesus looks at her and says, your faith, wow. Yes, and heals her daughter, right? And for some reason in our minds, we have now said that that is a dog is now a degrading thing against Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And we back that up because what in Jesus' teaching today does he compare to? Hogs, pigs, the unclean things that the people aren't supposed to eat that many of the Gentiles do, right? Unclean does not mean bad, evil, right? Pigs aren't out there being devils, right? It's the idea that just like with the sacred object, just don't eat that. We could dig in and give many reasons to why God wants this to happen, but ultimately it's that God says, don't. So we conflate the two. We understand in this moment that whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing, we know for sure, scholars don't even debate this, that when Jesus says puppies and hogs or pigs and dogs, he's talking about Gentiles. Don't give what is sacred to the puppies and don't give pearls to the hogs. Jesus saying, don't give what to who? Don't give something to the Gentiles. Now, here's where they also are all in agreement. It's the gospel. Are you shocked? I am a little bit. What do you mean, don't give the good news to everybody else? What do you mean it's only for these people? I have stories where you don't think that, Jesus. Exhibit A, the Gentile woman getting healing, getting the rescue, getting the salvation for her loved one that she cares for. Scholars are sure that Jesus is saying this for a particular time. It's for a season. It's just for a season. How do we know? Because he heals Gentiles. He offers the good news to them. Matter of fact, he will eventually commission an apostle to the Gentiles. But in this season, for right now, even he tells the apostles, don't go just anywhere. Go to the people of Israel first. This is the very first part where I feel like we could just say, it's very contextual. This scripture is very specific about a point in time. But I believe the Spirit of God is alive and well. Because it makes me think of how much do we actually value the gospel? And how do we steward it well? If this is something that we should hold to as sacred, that it's a gift, that if the gospel is something like a pearl, something of value, that Jesus says we shouldn't just give it away, right? The reason why you don't give these things away, it seems like because they're not ready for it. A pig doesn't know what to do with a pearl. Give a puppy a sock, it's going to tear it to pieces. It doesn't know what to do with it. It's not going to go, oh, well, thank you very much. Put these on my paws and I'll save it for when it's cold outside. Yes, that dog wears socks when it's like negative 10 outside, right? To protect his paws. He wouldn't know. Another good example. Somebody I love dearly gave my 4-year-old a drone. Right on the box in big, big bold, it says 16 and up. But once they open it, I gotta play with it. They don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. Guess how quickly that thing lasted? Just enough for it to go on the roof. Right? We know that there are seasons that we need to obey. We're living in a farming community. We know that we don't throw seeds when it's negative 40 outside because it ain't going to do anything. Nothing's going to grow, right? And we know that it's not just, you know, I'm picking on the youth and the young, right? Puppies and you know, little babies who put things in their mouth. But we do the same thing. I'm in my 30s. This is the first time I've ever owned a home. A majority of my life I've been in an apartment. So when my wife looked at me and said, the patio needs to be power washed, I said, you clean it? And then I said, where would we get a power washer? To which my adopted father, I could hear moan from towns of way going, what? Right? Now, he actually had one, right? He had the power washer. He didn't just go, well, you're 30, you know what to do, go. No, he took the time. He said, this is how you take care of it. It's a tool. This is how you use it. This is how you care for it. This is how you don't break your home or anything else, right? He took the time to teach me, and then I did it. This is a season, if you would have asked me 3 years ago if I would have been doing this, I wouldn't have even known. But now that I do, I know what I have to do, how to treasure this part of my house, my home, and even the tool that I've been given, right? I'm sure there were some of you that when we went from flip phones to smartphones, had to do the same kind of thing. You mean I can't just throw this thing anymore? It's not a brick, right? That I have to take care and that there's different devices and different modes and means, right? You had a learning curve. So this isn't just for the young, this is for all. And I say that is the same thing with the gospel. We have to know the value of it. We have to know the value of it. And we have to know how to steward it well. For many of us, I think maybe all of us in this room, we understand the value of the gospel, how it's changed our lives, how it's improved our lives, right? We understand the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift that is and what that means for us. But then we've got the different sides of the poles where some of us are going, and I wouldn't know how to talk to somebody about that. I wouldn't know. I'm not comfortable approaching that topic with somebody. I leave that to the professionals. And then there's others of us who in all caps will go and tell anybody and everybody on social media about Jesus, even to the point of not just picking up the cross, but beating them with it. Right? I know somebody to this day that says, you are not a Christian unless you are going door to door. And then gets frustrated. Why people aren't just being filled with the Spirit when he shows up on a 11 o'clock on a Saturday and going, what do you mean you don't want to accept Jesus into your heart, stranger that I've just now met? I think we need to understand the value of the good news we have, that it is a treasure, that it is something sacred, right? We understand that we're meant to share it, but for some of us, we've never really dug deep and been able to ask, what does that then mean? How do I share it? In what ways? If it's something we could steward, right? If it's something that we are given, much like a power washer, to use the analogy, it's a great gift now that I have it. But how do I take care of it? How can others benefit from it? Right? Going forward, I'll be able to teach my kids about it. Say, this is how you use it. If somebody in my family doesn't know how to use it, as more and more of us millennials are learning, we don't have all these skills that our parents used to have, I can maybe teach. Maybe I could bring mine over and start power washing some other people's houses, right? Don't start volunteering me for that, right? But you get it, right? At the same time, we're farmers. Y'all know you can't just throw the seed everywhere. Jesus makes tons of analogies about the gospel and the good news being equated to seed and falling on soil. And he says, yeah, you could throw it and some of it's going to land on the sidewalk, on the rocks and the thorns, and only some of it's going to produce. But that doesn't mean we just get to just throw it willy-nilly. We can actually be responsible and hold this privilege that we get to be messengers of the good news, bearers of the good news, to be able to make sure that when we share it, it's on the best kind of soil. Right? I have watched as somebody has been grieving the loss of their beloved. Recent as in the last hour, and somebody coming up and going, I want to talk to you about our Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you that person did not hear any of the good news. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a season for things. We know this. We know there's a time. We know there's a place. I know sometimes this is a weird thing to talk about, is the gospel and how to share the gospel. And sometimes it doesn't feel very practical. And it probably seems a little bit weird to even say there's a time and a place for it. But there's a time and a place for it. There's a way to do it. Jesus doesn't start his ministry in Egypt. He doesn't start it in Rome. He starts it at home. Ooh, that was a good Baptist thing, wasn't it? He didn't start it in Rome. He started it at home, right? Peter didn't go to the agora. He went to the synagogues. He went to the people where, at the very least, even if he didn't have a personal relationship, there was culture that connected them. There was an identity that connected them. Right? Sometimes we think we have to gospelize the whole world. And so we'll start in the farthest place we could think of, and we'll send all of our money there. And we'll never mention to our family anything. That will totally miss the opportunities to share the good news, the healing and rescuing and delivering of Jesus with the people we care the most. Anybody know Penn and Teller? Right? They're a Vegas show, right? Magicians. Penn is an atheist. And he has a real problem with Christians that don't share their gospel, that don't proselytize. You want to know why? Because if it's as good as you say it is, then you should want everybody to know. And I like that. I validate that. But I also recognize you handing me a piece of card while I'm at a gas station about Jesus. That's not soil. That's not seed. That's another thing you've handed me on my way to a million other things. And instead of offering me the comfort and the grace and the peace and maybe just being present, you've missed that opportunity to minister and be the good news. Do you see what I'm saying? I think the scripture here today has a lot to tell us, because we talk a lot about God and wanting God everywhere. But I think the generation coming up is saying, but how have you given us? How have you treated? How have you valued the gospel? You want it in the schools, but you don't have it in your homes. You want the nation to run on it. But where are these moments where you're actually teaching us what it is? How many of us have actually taken the time to ask that question? What is the gospel? How has it changed me? And what ways can I share it? Because you look back at any of the great missionaries, you look back at any of the great heroes of our faith, male and female, they know their encounter with God. They know in the depths of their soul the good news. And from there, because they've understood their own journey, they can walk alongside others and share the gospel and do it well. They have become good stewards of the gift that is salvation, and they've done it well. So although Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the crowd that were there, very specifically, about a very specific and even temporary moment, I think the Spirit of the Lord moves in this scripture to challenge us today, to ask the very hard question, do we value the gospel? How do we value the gospel? And in what ways are we stewarding this gift we have been given? Amen? Let us pray. Good Father, you who have given us this beautiful and wonderful gift that is your Son, who brings salvation, rescue, and healing, not just to a chosen few, but to the world, to the universe, to all of creation. Lord, in this time where there are so many competing ideas, philosophies, religion, that in this time where we are in the most unchurched, now being labeled post-Christian era in the United States, may you give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear the gift that you have given us. May you give us the boldness and courage to probe the very gift you've given us, this good news, to know the good news, not just to theologically, mentally know this good news, but that you would give us the boldness to know it in our hearts and not just our minds. And that, like with that early church, you would give us the boldness to step out and to share that good news. But Lord, we know from the very beginning of this good news, of this gospel, from the very beginning of humanity, you called us to be stewards of creation, of the gifts you have given us. So Lord, let us know when maybe it's time not to speak, but to listen. Lord, let us know when it's time to share the gospel, not with words, but with deeds. Lord, don't let us be tempted into arguments on behalf of God. You're already victorious. That's the resurrection. But give us the discernment to be able to go out into this world and know where the harvest is, to know where to plant the good seed because the soil is ready. Give us the discernment of Jesus, of Peter, of Paul, of James, of Philip, of Junia, of Priscilla, of Phoebe, your servants in scriptures who went out among this world in their communities and beyond to share the good news, to find where the Spirit has been leading us all along to share that gospel. Yes, Father, give us the discernment to be able to listen to your Spirit as it guides us to share the gospel rather than for us to decide when and if we share it. Father, again, I wish to thank you for the good news that you have given us, that you have provided for us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Redeemer, the very embodiment of the good news, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.